Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Tonight, my message is called Focused on the Mist or the Eternity. And I'm going to start out in James chapter 4. We're going to read verses 13 through 17. And Dustin's not here tonight, so I can't talk about how great Scott and his team are, so I'll save that for next time. But James 4:13, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and spend a year there and carry on our business and make money. You know, pause there for a minute. You know, that's a lot of what's going on the earth today. People are carrying on with their business and making money. And some people, that's really their only focus. And I'm a big fan of being blessed. Teach talked about it. Pastor talks about it. You know, we're blessed to be a blessing, though. But a lot of people would just take the blessing, which can be from the earth also, right? So verse 14, yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. What is the nature of your life? You are really but a wisp, a vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist that is visible for a little while and then disappears into thin air. And so I've talked about this before, but God put this on my heart, you know. Put that ocean up there, if you would, with my statistics on there, if you would, please. So I did a little research, and, you know, the earth has 326 million trillion gallons. That's a lot of water, right? So that's a million times 326 trillion. Okay? So that's a lot of zeros, right? And I did a little study because I use this in my ministry bag. There's about 50,000 sprays to get 1 gallon of water. So depending on what kind of sprayer you have, you ladies might have a different kind of a spray or whatever. But James just told us that our life is like a mist. Could y'all see that from back there? Is there enough light to see that? Did y'all see that? So that's our life right there. If you get it cut short by an auto accident or whatever, you're a half of a mist, right? Let's say you go a full mist, though. So you could take that number, 326, right, times 50,000. And so that is, I think, 16.3 trillion. So 1 trillion times 16.3 trillion. So you can add on about 6 more zeros onto that number. So what I'm trying to do is compare the perspective, because the ocean is like the beginning of eternity. It's just getting started good, right? So your little life is like 16.3 trillion trillion sprays before eternity really even gets started good. But what do most of us focus on day after day after day is that little mist of time. And it is so insignificant compared to eternity. All right, so I just want to put that in perspective, and I'm going to go forward here a little bit and just share a few other things with you. Another comparison, because I'm an engineer, I like perspective, would be like our life is like a marble on the earth compared to the universe, which never ends, right? It just goes on and on. I mean, that is pretty small, right? So that's really our life, right? So verse 15. You ought to instead, he just talked about the vapor of our life. You ought to instead to say, if the Lord is willing, we shall live and do this or that thing. Pause. This is things focused on eternity, right? He's talking about that mist. 16, but as it is, you boast falsely in your pretension and your self-conceit. All such boasting is wrong. 17, so any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, to him it is sin. You know, we focus too much on the mist of life, you know, sometimes by what we don't do, like not going to church, right, or reaching the lost. Really, what we don't do is sin. If we know what we're supposed to do, because most Christians, they know they're supposed to go to church, right? I've said before, pastors has said repeated, if everybody that came to Oasis Church once came now, we'd be in Robert Stadium, which is now an empty yard. But, I mean, literally, I've been here for a long time, right, from the Newburgh days. But Some of them, you know, hear a message of correction, and then they are called somewhere else. And some of them disappear because their job becomes more important or whatever. You know, you hear every excuse. You've been this, you know, around a long time. You hear every excuse imaginable. I'm sure Pastor Sitchfield is going to write a book on all the great excuses that they've heard for why people can't come to church, right? But if we know to do the right thing, we don't do it right, that's sin. And so I'm going to go on to Hebrews 10, 24 through 27, the Amplified Classic Bible. And let us consider and give attention, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. And so I hope to stir you up tonight on the eternity things, all right? That's my goal. Well, hopefully we'll hit the mark here. But especially on reaching the lost, because that's my heart. 25, for not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. And you know, church doesn't get us to heaven, right? If it did for 32 years, a warming up a church pew, I'd been on my way. But I was not on my way, because I didn't get born again, right? But we were called to mature in church. And I tell the guys in jail all the time, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've been going down the road and pastor preached something. I was fixing to get off in the ditch and pastor got me corrected, you know, through something he might have just said just off the cuff. Maybe it would appear in the natural, right? But inspired by the Holy Spirit, God keep us out of those ditches of life if we come. Yeah. And the day that you don't feel like coming is probably the most important day. Yeah. There's a big ditch coming, right? Maybe with a culvert in it. And so, you know, we're supposed to get together, not forsake the gathering of the brethren, but a lot of times people will because they let life get in the way, right? But we want to stay on that right path and not skip for, you know, our spouse is not an excuse. I've heard that one. Our job's not an excuse. You know, money, whatever. There's all sorts of great excuses people have, right? 26, for if we go on deliberately and willfully sinning, once after acquiring the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice left to atone for our sins. Now, can any once saved always saved people ought to be here and then read this scripture and a bunch of other ones, my gosh. You got to continue in the faith, right? But if we go on deliberately sinning, it's like we never even knew the truth, right? And we're called to go to church. We're called to study our Bible. We're called to pray, to witness to the lost. But if we don't do that, we're willfully sinning, right? 7, there's nothing left for us then, but a kind of awful and fearful prospect and expectation of divine judgment and fury of the burning wrath and indignation which will consume those who put themselves in opposition to God. So we don't do what God says, like going to church or doing the, we're putting ourselves in opposition to God. That sounds kind of harsh. TJ was getting in your kitchen and I might be getting in the basement here in a little bit. But TJ is so sweet though, you know. He's a nice guy. So I want to talk now about Jesus' first message. You know, I think there's a lot to be said about the first and the last messages. You know, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, right? And so in Matthew 4 in the Amplified, verse 10a, then Jesus said to him, go away, Satan. 11, then the devil left him and the angels came and ministered to him, bringing him food and serving him. So this is when the devil tempted Jesus, right? 40 days. And then Jesus' ministry begins, verse 12. This is the beginning of his ministry. Now when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been arrested and put into prison, he left for Galilee. 16, the people who were sitting, living in spiritual darkness have seen a great light. And those who were sitting, living in the land of the shadow of spiritual and moral death, upon them a light has dawned. 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, if you follow me, you're going to get a lot of stuff in your life. Oh, my bad. I got the wrong version there for a minute. So repent. Change your inner self, your old way of thinking. Regret past sins. Live your life in a way that proves repentance. Seek God's purpose for your life, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So people in spiritual darkness, and that was Jesus' concern, said repent. He wanted to get people in the light. He is the light, right? But that was his very first thing. That's his number one concern. And, you know, we've got this missed time, and we better be focused on the eternal things, right? Because Jesus' heart is to get people out of spiritual darkness, first and foremost, right? Yeah. Anybody ever waste their time on something that maybe didn't have much effect on eternity? Yeah. Well, I could write a book on that. But one of mine is Sudoku. if I'm pronouncing that right. I'll ever do that. Get 1 through 9 on there. And my doctor told me one time, you'll keep your brain going if you do Sudoku. And so, man, I get addicted to that thing. And I set records in there. You know, they rate you and all that kind of stuff. But I ain't getting anybody else to heaven, right? So, but, you know, we all have these little things we do that probably aren't that productive in our life, right? I'm not on Facebook, thank God, because I see you all people doing this, and it drives me crazy just watching you do it. I mean, I don't need that because I could get sucked into that maybe pretty quick, right? But I don't know that we really need to know what everybody had for supper and whatever they all post on. I don't know. Maybe I'll need to know that. I don't know. But we all have our thing, right? But we have to identify what's our thing that distracts us, keeps us focused on that mist and not on that ocean, right? So let's go to verse 18 now. The first disciples. As Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, this is the same first message, he noticed two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. 19, and he said to them, follow me as my disciples, accepting me as your master and teacher, and walking the same path of life that I walk, and I will make you fishers of men. Notice, walking the same path he walked. His number one concern was people were in darkness. He wanted to get them into the light, to get people to repent, right? And notice, he wanted them to follow him, right? Which we're doing by going to church, right? Because we want to become disciples. Because when we get born again, we're all just a little baby with our little Christian diaper on, our little pacifier. And then we love on you, right? When we've been around a while and hope you'll grow up someday, right? When you leave your stuff underneath the pews and stuff, we pick them up and we haul it off. Sorry about that, Sister Rose. Put in a plug there because don't leave your junk on the pews. But anyhow, we all are starting off as babies, right? And baby can't help anybody, right? But we have to grow up into disciples. But notice what the disciples do. They become fishers of men. He doesn't say, now we got these 10 different vocations in college you can choose. You could be a fisher of men. You could be this. You could be this. No. All of us are called to be fishers of men. You know, one of the reasons this is so passionate for me is, you know, I'm 64 years old and only one person has ever witnessed me about salvation. One person in 64 years. I think about it a lot. I just talked to Rick this week, you know, and thanked he and his wife again. Thank you for loving me and sharing the gospel with me. And then praying for me for 6 months, for Terry and I. Didn't just give up, right? Prayed for us for 6 months. And so, you know, it's a passion for me because I know how serious it can be. And I'm forever thankful for that. But, you know, we can't disciple people that are not saved. Y'all ever notice that? Pastor can't disciple anybody until they're saved, right? In the jail, I spend most of my messages on salvation because some people go in there and preach these great messages. They're not even born again. Well, that's a great story about Jonah. Oh, yeah. But they don't even know Jesus. I knew a lot of great Bible stories going to church for 32 years. But if you're not saved, it's just a story. It doesn't do you any good whatsoever, right? So, praise God, Jesus was focused on eternity and not the mist. How about his last message? Mark 16 in the Amplified Bible. 9, now Jesus, having risen from death, early on the first of the week, appeared first to Mary Magdalene, whom he had cast out 7 demons. Thank God that he cares about messed up people. I was thinking about Saul the other day again, you know. Saul came into our church, you know, and shot a couple people and then left. You know, we'd be pretty upset with Saul. You know, and he was killing Christians and evil. And became the great apostle Paul. And we look at people sometimes, you know, and I do it myself. I see people sometimes that fell in the bait and tackle box and then they fell over in the paint supplies. And I have to say that's a child of God. You know, because if you're not following Jesus, you're following the devil. And you're just gonna do whatever he's got to offer. It doesn't matter what it is, right? But God looks at people's heart. He doesn't look at sometimes what we see in the outside, right? Verse 14a, later Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples themselves as they were reclining at the table. Now he rebuked them before that because they didn't believe, but we're going to 15. And he said to them, this is his last message now again. We did the first before. The last message from Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. As long as you have a calling on your life to do that. Come on. It's for all of us. 16, he who has believed in me and has been baptized will be saved from what? The penalty of God's wrath and judgment. Nobody wants that. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Verse 17, and these signs will accompany those who have believed. And I'm not going to get into those tonight. Those are very important as part of what we're commanded to. But the very first thing he said in his last message is to preach the gospel to get people saved. And so, you know, I think about sometimes, you know, in heaven, what people in heaven would say today, or what people would in hell would say to us today. And you know, according to the Bible, we must not be able to think about anybody that didn't make it to heaven, because otherwise we'd be pretty sad. But think about if you did know. And you know, when you appear in front of God, part of what he's going to show you in your life in terms of things where you missed it is how many people you missed out witnessing to in your life. I believe that's going to be a part of what God's going to show us. But if you reviewed that in heaven, you thought about that, the people that went to hell that you knew, families and friends, you would chew your arm off to have another opportunity to share the gospel with those people. Then what would they say, those people in heaven right now, those of us that have loved ones that have gone before us that are in heaven, man, they would be pleading with us. Man, live your life for Jesus. You don't want to miss this. There's nothing in this world that's worth missing out in heaven. They would beg us, right, to live right and come to heaven and to share the gospel, right? Yeah. But imagine people in hell, what they would say. Those of us that have, I bet you every one of us in here have friends or family members that are in hell right now in eternal damnation. They're never, ever, ever getting out. Go watch that video sometime, 23 Minutes in Hell by Bill Weiss. God showed him hell for 23 minutes. And there wasn't anybody partying down there. And what those people would say to us today, why did you not plead with me to avoid this place? You know, it makes me think about, I heard a testimony from an atheist one time. And he said, I don't really believe you people. Because if you Christians really believe what you say you believe, you would be preaching to me every time you saw me. Because if you say you love me like you say you love me, you would not want me to go to that place. But think about that right now from an atheist perspective. If he knows 100 Christians and a couple of them maybe talk to him or whatever and the rest of them just avoid him, what I could see where somebody could come to that conclusion, right? Because you really don't believe what you say you believe if you're not willing to share the gospel with me. And I could tell you it's not always rosy. You know, I met a guy at Burger King the other day and shared the gospel. And I tell you what, I don't know if we were that know-it-all when I was a kid. It just seemed like in these end times, people just, they're not open. Right? It doesn't stop me from sharing it, you know. I tell them at the end of this road, you got heaven or hell at the end of this thing. Some people need to get smacked in the head because they're just full of stupid, right? But, you know, that's a seed, right? And Teach talked about that, you know. We're just out there, we're planting seeds, people are watering, you know, and that kind of a thing. And so, but what, you know, think about that sometime. What would people think in heaven about us, and what would we think about the people that were lost? 19, so then when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. 20, and they went out and preached everywhere, whenever they felt like it, when they had a good day at work, when they had a really nice personality, when they met a really nice person. Come on, y'all, I added all that, okay? Where am I? I lost my spot getting off. I added all that stuff in the Greg version. Sat down the right hand of God. He went and preached everywhere while the Lord was working with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed. So here we are, Jesus' last message. The first thing, the gospel, get people saved from a burning hell. He was focused on that eternity of time, right? Not on this mist, the blessings now. And I'm a big fan of the blessings. But frankly, I get a little sick of hearing preaching on the internet all the time, and all it is about what you can get, what you can get. You know why I think part of the reason for that is? Because people don't want to come to church if they aren't going to tell them how great they are and how much they're going to get. I mean, that self-centeredness that the Bible talks about in the end times, love of self, that's big time in the church, right? Because we all want the blessing, right? But where is our heart? Where was Jesus' heart, right? And I believe in the blessing. I preached on that last time, right? God blessed me. So are we focused on eternity, right? Because Jesus was. And by the way, the Holy Spirit, it says right here, he works with us. I know a lot of people use an excuse that God's going to draw them. It didn't say here, go out and preach the whole gospel of the world. The Holy Spirit will work you when he feels like saving somebody. God's heart is to save people. He's wanting to work with us, right? And so if you and I do our part, I'm going to trust he's going to do his part. I don't like that part of, well, I don't know if God's calling him or not. I'm going to let him do his job. I'm just going to do my job and share the gospel and believe he's going to do his part and work with me, right? Because I've seen healings in my ministry. And it wasn't for me. He did his part. I had faith they'd be healed, and they were healed because he's going to do his part, right? We keep our switch of faith turned on. Pastor teaches us that, right? But the Holy Spirit is going to draw them. Anybody out there ever feel like Holy Spirit Junior? Well, this is like telling on myself. You know where you got to do everything? You know, I'm an engineer. I like these 10 steps. You 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got to do all these steps, you know? But God's going to do some of these steps, right? He's working with us, right? Because he can get you really frustrated fast, right? If you think you got to do it all. I got to go plant the seed. I got to go water. Man, you would run yourself ragged because I tried it out, right? It does not work, right? Let's just do our part, right? And God's going to do his part. We don't have to be Holy Spirit Junior, thank God. Luke 6, 45 and 46. I'm starting to wrap and unwind here. Praise God. The upright, honorable, intrinsically good man out of the good treasure stored in his heart produces what is right, what is upright, honorable, and intrinsically good. And the evil man out of the evil stored storehouse brings forth that which is depraved, wicked, intrinsically evil. For out of the abundance overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. So what does a good man produce? The most important thing we can produce is souls. Right? That's the number one thing that God's looking for. So if we're a good man, according to the Bible here, we're going to produce souls. Eternity focused, right? You know, I had some friends that they produced marijuana in high school and college. They planted marijuana and they produced marijuana. But our production here on this earth should be souls once we get born again. Right? And you know, we do our first fruits a lot of time. I think, you know, one of the reasons I think that, I don't know, this is just a rough survey in my head, but I think those of us that lived out for the devil for a while, I think we're more thankful for being saved a lot of times. Come on, guys, I was heading to hell. Some of y'all grew up in church and you've been saved forever. And I just, in general, I just don't think a lot of times there's just not an appreciation or a thankfulness for saving us from my burning hell. Because it's like I was on the edge of hell and God reached down in there and he grabbed me, set my feet on the rock. I'm so thankful God saved me. But what are we going to do with that produce, right? I mean, God saved us, right? The most important thing we can produce if we're a good person, it says good man, good person here, right, is souls and practicing what he told us to do, right? And the Holy Spirit's going to help. Now, verse 46 ties right into this. I like this. Let's just stick this verse in here. There's a reason these verses are tied together. So 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And do not practice what I tell you. Right after he said the good man produces good things, the most important which I believe is souls, he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not practice what I told you to do? The greatest commandment, you all know, love God and love people. I use this to motivate me all the time to share the gospel. Because God loves people. Sure. He loves souls. And their greatest need is salvation. You know, I believe in helping people and giving them money and financially. Sometimes that opens up the door. You know, sometimes we forget about giving to people that are not Christians. Well, they're not a Christian. Well, they need to see the love of God. Why would somebody give me this? They don't even know me. You know, Terry and I had this discussion before because we've helped people in the past with rent and things that were not Christians, and then they just kind of disappear. Well, hey, that's not our part. We do what God calls us to do, and then whatever they do, that's up to them, right? But people need to see that Christians are generous. That's why we should give a decent tip at the restaurant, for goodness sakes. Amen. I'm still fired up about that. That waitress telling me that that's the worst day to work, a Sunday afternoon. That's pitiful. Shame on us. We should be the best givers out there, right? So praise God. So, you know, why do we call him Lord, Lord, if we don't practice what he teaches him? So a couple of final thoughts I had just to kind of wrap this all together here. So, you know, looking at all of our own lives, and I would say most people would call me a workaholic. You know, I grew up working on the farm, work construction. I'm thankful because I guess versus being lazy, I guess being a workaholic is better than the two options. But, you know, there's got to be some balance in there. There's a lot of days I work. Shelby gives me grief because I'm on my computer at night and weekends and whatever, because I like to be productive. I hate to waste time, you know. But what if I'd taken an hour or so here and there, and instead maybe I go pray for somebody lost, or read my Bible, or go to church, or witness to the lost is my main focus tonight. What if we take a little bit of our time from work? What about if we exercised a little bit less? Because it produces, you know, benefits on this earth, but for an eternity of time, trillion, 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 it ain't going to make any difference. So could we work out maybe 15 minutes less and then go witness to somebody when we left the workout gym? Our time on Facebook, for me, for watching sports, because I love sports, it ain't going to matter for eternity, right? What if we cut our prayer time or Bible time short one day from an hour to 45 minutes and go share Jesus with somebody? What if we spent 2 hours in the prayer closet, spent an hour and a half one day, and then took a half hour to go share the gospel with somebody, right? I'm talking about the mist versus the eternity. What's our focus? You know, in Hawaii, we were blessed for that trip. You know, it's a long ways, by the way, from here to Hawaii. You know, in those little maps, you know, you got Hawaii right there in the corner in that little box, because that's not where it is. It's way over there, right? And I was too dumb to realize it was weird. I was so dumb, too. This is bad telling yourself. But you know, in those kids' books, when they had Noah's Ark on there, you know, it's about as big as this front row here, and people are waving out the side. I'm like, I guess it's a little bit bigger than that, isn't it, right? So anyhow, pastor still lets me come up here. So in Hawaii, you know, we met a couple that one was from Virginia, one was from California. Would have never, ever, ever met them. Probably never see them again in my life. And I believe I was down getting my wife some coffee that morning. You know, you all should get your wife a coffee once in a while with the cream that she likes, which they didn't have. Sorry, honey. And so I ran across this couple down there, and it just got opened up the door. I shared my testimony. They both went to a religious church and did a lot of ritual type stuff. You know, I gave them my testimony. And then to keep the word flowing in there, I gave them my podcast. And the last thing they said to me when they left, they went, we're going to listen to your podcast. Right? Now, I could have gave them Brother Hagin's podcast, but guess what? They don't know Brother Hagin. See, we forget sometimes. We want to give them, and I love my pastor. I tell you what, you say something about my pastor, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be talking to me, right? But my friends don't know Pastor Mark, some of them. So give them your testimony. They know you, right? They're only going to listen because they know me, and they, for whatever reason, they like me, right? So I gave my testimony. The guy in the taxi cab, or the Uber driver, Terry, we talked about Jesus. Where was he from, Bosnia or Serbia? Good, strong conservative from Serbia. Doesn't like all these immigrants coming in here and being illegal. Because he came legally. Novel concept. Don't you be legal if you come to our country. And then my boss's 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 boss, who I offered my podcast a few years ago, and he said, no thanks. So we got a chance to have supper together, just he and I. So I got a chance to pray. You know, I didn't say, oh, my boss, he might fire me because he doesn't like the law. No. That might be my last chance to share Jesus with the VP of our company, right? And so, but I'm just trying to use an example. God opens up these little doors of opportunity for us, but how often do we not go through those doors because the business of life, or that little hamster in the cage going round and round and round? No, I ain't got time for you right now because I'm going here. You know, we're focused on going that way. So just trying to open us all up, myself included, because there's more we can do out there, right? First Monday of the month, I had 12 men come to Jesus in the jail. Go there two times a month, sometimes three. And almost every week, we have 10 to 15 people accept Jesus. I've been going for a lot of years now. And people, Jim, they aren't serious. Hey, if just one of them was serious, it'd be worth my whole entire ministry. Right? You don't know, right? But when you see people come forward in tears, we don't go by emotion, but sometimes you can just, man, this guy got it. And so praise God, we just do what God offers for us to do. Teen Challenge Sunday, this past Sunday, had three men come forward to accept Jesus, and we laid hands on about 8 or 10 of them for healing, believing God did some miracles there, right? And we shucked the corn there, and we cast some religious demons out of those people, because some people just, they've been taught wrong. I just tell them, they get taught wrong. If you're going to a church that supports ungodly marriage and murdering little babies, you don't have to be mean, but you better get your butt out of that church, because God doesn't like that, right? And so just because a guy's up there standing on the altar, it's not like he's all Pastor Mark, right? Thank God we got Pastor Mark and our other pastors here, because we get the word, praise God. So So faith has action. Faith doesn't just sit home on a couch. I can tell you, most of the time for jail ministry, I work a long day, I'm tired. When I get home, I want to kick the lazy boy up into L for loser, and put my feet up and sit on the lazy boy. I'm telling you. I tell those guys at jail, hey, I didn't want to come tonight. My flesh didn't want to come. I tell my flesh to shut up. I'm going to jail. I'm going to share Jesus. Praise God. And, you know, we have to take action, right? Because I think, this is from my limited view, but I think there's more excuses about witnessing than almost anything else in the body of Christ. Tithing's probably in the top five. Witnessing, praying in the Holy Ghost. I talked about praying in tongues down there at the Teen Challenge. One guy says, yeah, I just cry. That's my thing. I don't have to pray in tongues. Okay. And you can't convince people against their own will, right? You just, yeah, love on them. Okay, God's good, you know. But people, they've been taught a lot of goofy stuff out there. There's a lot of things to correct people on because they just, there's a goofiness out there, right? But I think, you know, it's all our choices, right? I've made hundreds of excuses for not witnessing to people, right? But, you know, the big question is, where is our focus, right? And it's not always just souls, but like with Teej was already saved, but God, you know, led me to him to invite him to church because, hey, I'm not embarrassed about my pastor, my church. Some of y'all are embarrassed and you're like, well, they pray in tongues there. Man, you need to grow up. There's a reason God sent you to this church. And the Holy Ghost is not embarrassing anybody. He's helping us. That's where the power comes from, praise God. Because the first time I came to teach, saw somebody slain in the spirit, I was like, whoa, wait a minute, right? The old pinball machine was doing tilt, right? So don't be embarrassed about bringing people to church. Don't pass out like Teej. It all worked out good for him, praise God. Got him a wonderful wife that we love dearly. But, you know, can we reprioritize a little bit in our life to take that one little spray mist of life and just think about that some days. Man, I'm in this mist and I've got 16 trillion of those plus another trillion unending number of days in eternity. And so, you know, I can tell you someday I'm going to bring my friend Jacques here from Dixon that ministers with me down in Dixon, you know, about how I ran into him at the Burger King and 41 South. Shelby, you see, Tyler, you were just, you were pregnant with Tyler at that time, I think, right, Terry? And God sent me to Burger King that I've been to probably three times in 40 and a half years at the exact right time to a Burger King he never went inside. He said his wife was praying that God either kill him or get him saved because she wasn't going to live like that anymore. Ran his house like a Marine boot camp. Everybody was afraid to say anything in that house. They didn't ever go inside the restaurant. They went through the drive-thru when they came to town to Evansville. But that day, they pulled in the parking lot, and God must have instructed him, they're going to go out today. They were like, what are we doing? We're going to go in and eat today. And I show up at that exact time? Come on. There's not any accidents in this stuff, right? Now, I don't know if anybody else would have shared the gospel with Jacques or not. I don't know if anybody else would have shared the gospel with me. Sometimes I think no, because still nobody has. If I'm out and about in the world, nobody shared the gospel with me still today. If you're out and about, they don't know if you're saved or not. So I could be still heading to hell for somebody still waiting for God to move on me when he's waiting for somebody to move on them, right? And so, you know, someday I'm going to bring him in there because, you know, I've cried many times over just people that God's put in my path, that he would allow me to do anything. It's humbling. I'm telling you. And when you start witnessing to people, you just want to do it more and more and more. Because I think about, man, if I could find one more Jacques. And this guy, I tell you what, he makes you feel like a backslidden pig during praise and worship. I'll bring him in here sometime. He'll make more noise than all of you all combined, including me. Jilly, I mean, this guy, he is excited about his salvation. And, you know, we can get religious and say, man, does he have to make all that noise? Does he have to jump up and down and hoot and holler all the time? I mean, he makes me feel like a backslidden pig when we do praise and worship, I'm telling you, right? And so just to think that God will let you be just a little part of somebody like that. but he loves people. And so I just, you know, I know it's heavy when you talk about witnessing because our flesh does not want to witness. It hates to witness. But if we just tell our flesh to shut up, just like we do when the devil calls us to sin, we say no, right? And so if we listen to our flesh, we're not going to do a lot of witnessing. But if we listen to that still small voice inside that's just full of love, then we're all going to want to do a little bit more witnessing, all right?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.